Amen. Thank you, Tony. Can you hear me? Is it working? Great. Welcome, everybody. It's great to be with you. I'm Tim, as Tony said, and I'd like to add my welcome to you all, everybody here and online. It's good to have you with us online. It's just great to see so many people here. You're missing out if you're online. You really are, because it's just, you are beautiful people. And I can't see you. You are beautiful people. You know what? Because God says we are. God looks at us and sees that we're beautiful. And it's not the only reason I say that. It's not because it's written in the Bible, because I know many of you. And I know what great people you are. The church is beautiful. I sometimes in worship, I'll go to the back of the side and I'll look at you guys because you are beautiful. The Bible says in Psalms, as for the holy ones, that's you guys, that are in the land, they are my glorious ones, in whom is my delight. If you want to see the glory of God today, have a look around. Lives redeemed, lives changed by the goodness of God. Amen. So that's not what I'm preaching today, and neither is this. I want to give a quick shout out before I get into what I've prepared. Shout out for a few people and pray for a few people that they're not here today. We sang, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord." And that comes from the Lord, but it's good to pray. I want to pray for Audrey Rowe, who's recovering from an operation. Went well, but we'd like to pray for strength. For Bob Cook, who's recovering from COVID. He needs to be well enough to go on his holiday. And Suzette, whose dad died a few days ago, and she's flown out to South Africa to be with the family. And time that needs strength. But can we just lift others that you know? Or you might be here thinking, I need some strength. Let's lift them. Father, we want to lift those that we know that aren't here or that may be here that just need your strength. And we know that strength arises when we wait on you. But we want to stand with them and say, strength come to Suzette as she has to, as today the funeral is. And she has to think of that and prepare for that and strengthen her mum. And for Bob Cook as he recovers from COVID. We pray for Audrey as she recovers from this operation. And we pray also for the many, many people that we're just thinking of now and lifting to you, that strength would come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. So has anybody seen this TV series, Who Do You Think You Are? Anybody watch that regularly? Yeah. Apparently, it's one of the most popular series around. It's really, really popular. And what it is, they take a celebrity and they look at his family tree, and they look and they discover things that they never knew about this celebrity. And so they kind of think, I found out who I really am because of my ancestors. So we are starting a new series this week, a new series of preaching. It is not a series of Who Do You Think You Are? But actually, in some ways, a big part of it will be, because we're going to be looking at the New Testament book of Ephesians for about 12 weeks. We've got some new speakers for you that you've not heard before, and some old speakers like me. Old in the sense, obviously, of have preached a few times. But a big part of Ephesians is about our identity, who we think we are. Now, that's a big part of it. It won't, by studying Ephesians, it won't change who we are, but we will discover and be reminded who we are. It's like a realigning our thinking according to the truth. So that's a big part of Ephesians. So it's about who do you think you are? So my job today is to preach the first 8 verses of Ephesians. I'll tell you why we're only preaching such a short bit. And give an intro and an overview of the book of Ephesians without stealing the next people's preach. Okay? So, I'm going to read the first 2 verses to get us straight into this. Okay. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this book that we call Ephesians, this book in the New Testament that's called Ephesians, is a letter. It's a letter from Paul. Who's Paul then? Paul, if you read in the New Testament, the Bible, Paul was a major character. He was actually originally a persecutor of the church. He was a Jew, a religious Jew, high up in religious Jewish leadership, and he opposed the Church of Jesus Christ and persecuted and took people to prison and had them killed because of their faith. And God met him and turned him right around and turned him into a preacher that went right across much of southern Europe, preaching the gospel, starting churches, and his life was turned around. And he wrote a big chunk of the New Testament. And he's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a major port city in the Roman Empire, a trade center. And Paul had lived there and preached the gospel there for about two years. And you can read that in the book of Acts, chapter 19 particularly. It was a center of idol worship, of false religion. It was the home of the temple of the Greek god Artemis, who's also called Diana in Roman mythology. And so it's a real center of false religion. But from Paul's preaching and his establishment of the church, that the gospel went out from Ephesus to all the whole region. It was a key part of Paul's ministry. And because of his preaching, Paul was imprisoned later in Acts. And he's writing this letter from prison. It's interesting to remember that as we read it, just the joy that he has in you'll see in the words that he's in prison for the gospel, and he never mentions that really. He focuses on the blessings that we have. So some theologians say that this letter was probably a circular letter that went to many churches. Some copies of it don't have to the church, says to God's holy people, it doesn't have in Ephesus. What does I think that means? I think that means that is to us. This is God's letter to us. So take it to us. So he starts off saying, Paul, an apostle. I'm not going to go into what an apostle is, but an apostle is, I'm not going much into it. An apostle is a builder in the church, a key ministry. He had a purpose by the will of God. He was called by God for a purpose. And that's one of the two themes there we'll find in the book of Ephesians. Purpose. It's about our purpose and our calling from God. He says, to God's holy people in Ephesus, but to us as well. Holy means set apart. We are set apart by God for a purpose. We are his holy ones that God delights in. We are his glorious ones, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And here again is another thing that we'll see right through Ephesians, this phrase, in Christ or in Christ Jesus. And this man, Paul, who persecuted the church, he made peace with God and was shown much grace, and he blesses the church and blesses us with grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He starts off giving grace and peace, that which he has received so much of. This is the background of this letter. Paul writing this letter to Ephesians. So if it's a letter, why aren't we going to read it right the way through all at once? You don't get a letter and think, I'll read the first two bits and then put it away and read it over 12 weeks. But we'll find that this letter is so rich that actually I'm going to ask, if some versions that you'll read, I'm going to stop in the middle of a sentence, because we have to stop and think, whoa, there's so much in this that we have to just pause. So I'm going to read on, read verses 3 to 8 and then give a bit of an explanation this. So Paul writes, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So if you're reading your own Bibles, you'll see, as I said, we stop in the middle of a sentence, but there's so much to unpack here. So in these first eight verses, this is very much in the tone of the first three chapters. So Ephesians has six chapters, and it kind of falls, as you read, in two parts. Chapters 1 to 3 kind of follow one theme, and then 4 to 6 a bit different. But for three chapters, it's kind of like this introduction, that Paul is praising God because God has blessed us. And for three chapters, Paul is going to explain the blessing that God has given us. And he says it's in Christ. It's in Christ. This blessing is in Christ. So Paul is going to be explaining what God has done for us, what he's given us, and who we are, who God has made us in Christ, our identity. What he's done, what he's given us, and who we are in Christ. And he's in those three chapters, he's not going to give a single instruction to us to how to live. Not a single instruction of how to be a good Christian. He's just going to go on and on about how God has been good to us for three chapters. And he's going to give thanksgiving and praise for God's goodness. And there's going to be two prayers where he prays that we get it, that we understand it. Because he knows that it's only by God's revelation that we get this. In chapters 4 to 6, he will teach us about the consequences of this new identity. Appealing to us to live according to the new identity. He's going to talk about unity in Christ, calling and purpose in Christ. He's going to talk about relationships and spiritual warfare. But he doesn't start with all those instructions. He doesn't start with do this and do that. He starts with this is who you are. This is who you are. This who we are is the basis and foundation of our Christian life. Don't do it the other way around, because the devil would want you to do it the other way around. That's his trick right from the beginning. That if you do something, then you will be. The devil said to Adam, if you do this, if you take this fruit, then you will be like God. God said, no, you are like me. You're in my image. And therefore, what we do comes out of that. So verse 3. He says, he has blessed us. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, I don't know what you think a blessing is. Maybe you think a blessing is a big house, a nice car, nice holidays. And they are our blessing, aren't they? And are these spiritual blessings just like second best? They're just virtual things? Well, no. They're actually better than all those things. They're better. Amen? They are better. There's two words for blessing in the New Testament, in the Greek. And one of these words literally means to speak well of. He has spoken well of us. God speaks well of us in heavenly places. In heaven, God is speaking well of us. Do you find that hard to believe? Let's pick on me. If you were to look at my life and know all of my life, you could find lots of things not to speak well of. Lots. I assure you, lots. You may be able to think of some of them now. I assure you, I can think of a lot more. But God chooses to speak well of us. Let me give you an example from the Bible. There's a guy in the Old Testament called Abraham that God chose. God chose him, not because he was good, not because he was clever. God just decided to choose him. And he chose him for a special purpose. And he promised him that his descendants would be as many as the stars of the sky. And Abraham made many mistakes in his life. He pretended that his wife was his sister to protect him from the enemies around him. Nearly had her taken as a wife twice. He slept with his female servant to see whether he could bring children in, the promise of many children in that way, which wasn't God's way. But it writes of Abraham, God causes to be written of Abraham in the book of Hebrews, that his faith never wavered. Now look at Abraham and think, never wavered? That's not how it looks to me. It doesn't look like that. It looks like he really messed up, like we all do. But God says his faith never wavered. God chooses to speak well of us. And some of the things that he speaks about us is in the Bible. In Ephesians. So we'll look at what God speaks of us. In heaven, God is speaking well of us. Not because he doesn't know the bad, but he chooses to speak the good. And when God speaks, there's power. God creates when he speaks. Amen? So, moving on. Next verse. He says, he chose us. He chose us. It's great to be chosen. I don't know whether they do this anymore at school, where when you're playing football or playing games, that two of the clever, good kids at football will stand and be the captain, and they'll choose who they want to be on their side. So I was never the first one chosen. I was never the two at the end, where I'll have him and you have those two. But God has chosen us. He's chosen us. He chose us. I chose to follow Jesus many years ago. But in the end, that is only response that he chose me first. He chose me to be his. He chose me before the creation of the world to be holy, set apart and blameless. He chose me. He has a destiny for it. He says, in love, he predestined us. He predestined us. What does that mean? It means he saw our future. From the creation of the world, from the beginning, he saw our future. He has a plan for each of us. And so this book is going to give, this Ephesians book is going to give a perspective from heaven and a perspective from the beginning of time to the end of time. So my purpose in that, in life, doesn't just fit in the years that I live. It fits into an eternal perspective from heaven. And your purpose as well. He's not surprised that you were born and where you live and trying to work out what he should do with you. From the beginning of time, he saw you, he planned you, and he knows the plan for you. So predestined, what does that mean? Oh, this is a big theological question. But literally in the Greek, it means that there is what does it mean? I've written this down. A course laid out for us. A course laid out for us. That we are not aimlessly wandering in life. That we have to discover what our purpose is to do. No, God has got a purpose. He has a course laid out for us. It's like a sat-nav. So when he has a destination for you, and he has the course that you need to go to get there, he has it set out. So does that mean that we don't have, these are the big theological debates, does it mean that we don't have free will? No, it doesn't mean that. We have free will. Does the sat-nav turn the wheel? No. Are we forced to follow the sat-nav? No. We have free will. And I don't think it's a path that is exact that I'm, you know, that after the meeting I have to, God has predestined that I have coffee, not tea. It's not that detailed. We have a freedom in that, I believe, but we have free will. Does it mean that God chose some people for hell, not to be saved? I don't believe that. What I think it means is, I'm pleased that, you know, there's a big theological debate here. I believe that God has a plan set out for everybody he created, and he did create everybody. Whether we follow that is part of our choice. We freely choose to follow that. I don't believe he choose people for hell. But there's a big adoption. And what has he chosen us for? What has he predestined us for? Is this for adoption to sonship. Adoption to be sons and daughters. The word in my Bible says sonship. This is not a sexist thing. Understand that in the Greek language that means sons and daughters. That is amazing. That is amazing that God has chosen us to be sons and daughters of his. In Roman society, which he's writing into, adoption was not just for, it was for natural children as well. That biological children were adopted. It's the point that they get the full rights of a son. That's the time they're adopted and they get the full right. It's not a second class. It's not, oh, natural adopted. No, it's the same. And we are adopted as his children. Understand what it means to be a son. If you read in the book of Hebrews, the writer there is trying to say how great Jesus is. That he's greater than humans. He's greater than any angel. And what does he say to show how great Jesus is? He says that God called him a son. That's how great it is. That's how great it is. And God calls us sons and daughters. Same as he calls Jesus. And Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. It's not like we are co-inheritors. We are equal in some respects with Jesus. We are sons, fully sons and daughters of our Father God. That's how the writer of the Hebrews tries to describe the greatness of Jesus. Son. Whatever title you can give to any man, pastor, apostle, whatever, they are so much insignificant to the title of son or daughter in the kingdom of God. That is who we are, sons, sons of the Almighty God. By his pleasure and will, not an obligation, no, it's his pleasure to adopt you as his son and daughter. To the praise of his grace. Oh, another big theme, grace. Grace, what's that? What he's saying is all these blessings that God gives us are by his grace. Grace is our undeserved goodness of God to us. Undeserved. He has lavished grace on us. Undeserved. Lavished. I don't know what you think with the word lavish. I always think of how much cream I put on my strawberries. Bit more. Lavished. Just the most extravagant thing, and God has lavished his grace. He is extravagant with us. Undeserved goodness to us. And it says we have redemption. What does that mean? Redemption in those terms would be like buying back a slave or buying a slave's freedom. It means we have freedom. I don't know whether people do this anymore, where you take something to a pawn shop and you leave an object there and you get some money. And if you want to get it back, you redeem it, you get it back. See, we were sold, we were in sin, we were not free, because we were in sin, but we were redeemed. God bought us back from slavery, which means we're free. Because we're free, it means this also, that if we have strayed off that path that God predestined for us, there is a way back. So you know, if you go off route on your Google Maps and you carry on that wrong route for a while, if you decide, no, I want to go back, and you reset it to the original destination, it doesn't say you shouldn't have started from here. It says rerouting. There always is a way back to the destiny, the path that God has set for you. Always a way back. Has anybody ever gone off track? So there's a few that admitted it and a few that just... We've all gone off track, and the sat-nav takes us to the destination. It might not be the route that was originally, but God knows the destination, because, as it says, we have been forgiven our sins. We've been forgiven our sins. A clean slate, a new start. We have been forgiven. God is so good. So what has God done for us? I mean, we've read 8 verses, and here's a list of some of the things that God has made done for us. We are blessed. Just want to say on that, blessed. God speaks well of us. Isn't that a challenge to us, to speak well of each other? To speak well of each other, rather than pick faults, which is easy, isn't it? But to speak well of each other. There are some great people here that you're so encouraging. So encouraging, Dave Durant. Just want to encourage you all the time. Speaking well of people encourages me all the time. Appreciate you. We speak well of each other. Kath, she's gone. Speaks well of, so well of people all the time. And let's speak well of each other. Let's find the good. It says in Hebrews, consider others better than yourself. Sometimes it takes a bit of considering. Consider how to spur one another on and encourage each other. Let's speak well. Let's bless one another. Chosen. Not chosen. Do you know, he didn't come and he said, oh, I'll choose you lot. He came to you individually and said, Tony, I'm choosing you. Leslie, I'm choosing you. I know you became Christians together. But he chose you each individually. Each of you chose individually. And never mind, what about Leslie? What about Tony? No. Well, God says to you, I'm choosing you. You're on my team. He chooses us all. We are loved. We are loved. We are predestined. God has a path for us. This is the big one for me. We are adopted as sons and daughters. We are adopted as sons and daughters. I've known times when the Holy Spirit has moved very powerfully in the church. So powerful that people just are laughing uncontrollably or on the floor, unable to move. I generally don't experience that. But one time I remember was... I just, led by the Spirit, was saying over and over again, I'm God's son. I'm God. I must have said it 100 times. I'm God's son. I'm God's son. I don't think God needed to hear that. But I think I needed to hear myself say that. I love that song that we sing, I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. Don't we need to reprogram our thinking, realign our thinking to what we really know is the truth and not what the world tells us, what the devil may tell us, that we're children of God and all of the blessings that come with that. We are redeemed, sorry. I was just going to say these. It's difficult to not preach them again. We are redeemed. We're set free. We're set free. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. Oh, the joy of being forgiven our sins. And we are given grace lavishly. We are given grace lavishly. And that's the first 8 verses only of Ephesians. We've still got 2.5 chapters to go, just of what God has done. So in summing up, I just thought, how do I conclude? What do we do with all this? What our response should be? And first I'm going to say, do nothing. Don't try and earn it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Jesus said the work of God is to believe. This is not about doing something and getting it. We've got to believe. And secondly, to thank God and praise God for his goodness to us. To thank God. That's what Paul does. He does 2 things in the first 2 chapters. He thanks God for all his goodness, and he prays that we get it. He prays that we get understand. So that's what I'm going to pray. And I want to say, as we close, as we stay and we drink coffee and tea and chat, let's bless one another. Let's speak highly of another. Let's speak of the goodness of God. Because I know the weather's good, but God is better. No, that's a pathetic comparison, isn't it? God is so good. He's worth talking about. So, Father, thank you that you have poured out blessing on us, blessing upon blessing. You have loved us abundantly, lavishly, crazily, Father. And we thank you. I want to pray that as we meditate on these scriptures, that we get how much you've loved us. We get it more and more. That we get revealed to us by your Spirit how much the power in us who believe, how big the love is that you have towards us. That we grow in an understanding of who we already are. That we don't have to strive to be more. That we already are your loved sons and daughters. And we pray that we'd be able to live that because we get it inside. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Over to you, Ted.